Thanks for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you are blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
Well, there's no doubt that the Lord really wants to speak to all of us today. Even on the way here driving, I had to pull over two or three times because I kept hearing things and had to write them down. I didn't want to veer off into other lanes as I've done in the past. So what I heard and what I wrote down was that this is an hour of preparation. You've already heard that through the prayers and what people are saying. And we are being prepared for the greatest hour of all history. Every one of us in this room, if we say yes to Him, it's the greatest revival that's coming to the land that we've never seen anything like it. And the justice of God is going to increase on the earth. And this is on the way driving in. He wants us to train. Listen to this one. He wants us to be able to train ourselves, meaning that we don't have to go to somebody to get the training, that the Holy Spirit desires to train us. It's not that we can't be a family. It's not that there's not apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists that we can receive from, but it's time for you and for me to sit underneath Him so that He can train us in this hour, that we can be trained. That was a huge thing because it's the greatest hour of history. And Michael was singing it. The team was singing it. This is my season for grace, for favor, to be what I have sown. This is your season to arise and be who you're called to be. This is your season not to attend church. This is your season to be that man and woman of God, young or old, it doesn't matter, to fulfill why He has you on this planet. This is an hour of weaning off of depending on other people and engaging God on your own, to be trained, to be equipped, to behold Him in this hour. This is a generation with a priestly identity, that we are priests before the Lord, on how to engage God. And I heard this very clear in Scripture. God draws near to the man and the woman that draws near to God. Amen? And so that was on the way in. Phase one. Today, something I want to speak to you about, I believe, is on God's heart. I've had another brother share this with me, and we've talked about it. And God wants us to understand and define what justice is in this age that we're living. What is the justice of God? And we've got to be able to understand it. We have to be unified in it. We have to come into agreement, because we need to be unified about the definition of justice. Defining and understanding God's justice. This morning we're going to speak about it. We're going to be turning to Isaiah 42 here in a moment. So I had spoke not long ago about two pictures that we're seeing. We're seeing that there's going to be a great revival. There's going to be a great movement. And that's from the word that even coming in this morning, that God is going to really change things in a powerful way as we change with Him. But also, there's not only going to be a great revival, but there's also going to be His justice and His judgment is going to move across the land. And some of you may say, oh, no. Well, let me tell you, it's a real good thing that His justice would prevail, that His judgment would begin to move from a place of love and mercy and grace. He's going to do that. And so we spoke about that. Many of you know that the last 21-day fast we had, we were praying many different scriptures out of Joel 2. We were also praying along with 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, that's a big part of justice, humility, humble themselves, pray, seek the face of God, turn from their wicked ways, He says that He will do what? He's going to heal the land. That is a biblical truth, and we need to hold on to that. So we've prayed that, we believe that, we're going to keep doing that. But God wants you and I to understand, and He wants us to live in a divine stream of supernatural revelation. I heard that so clearly. He wants you and I to live in a divine stream of supernatural revelation. When supernatural revelation begins to come into us because we've sat before the Lord and the Holy Spirit has begun to speak to us and that begins to stir us, when that really begins to happen, that supernatural revelation causes us to have our faith arise in every area. That supernatural revelation, we begin to walk in God's justice in deeds. We begin to see the anointing for healing to increase because that's His justice. So we need to walk and know that this is our season to walk in divine, supernatural movement of God's stream in our lives. Amen? Let me prove that to you. And I prayed it earlier. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. Okay, let me say it again. God wants you and I to live in a divine stream of supernatural revelation. Verse 9, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it says, "But just as it is written, things which eyes have not seen and ears have not heard and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him." Verse 10, "For to us God revealed them through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God." That is a powerful verse. God wants us to go deeper and deeper in revelation of who he is, to behold him. What you behold, you become. We've said that over and over. We're going to say it a lot today. So God wants us to walk and move in that divine stream. God wants us to be able to pull back the veil of deception that obscures us from seeing what God has. God wants us to be able to pull back the veil so that we can begin to see his plan for our lives. And not only for our lives, but for the body of Christ, for the church of Jesus Christ. He wants us to be able to see it. The Holy Spirit wants us consecrated onto him. And he does not want us living, again, keeping everything concealed from what God is saying. God wants us to know it, to walk in it, to live in it, to speak it, to have faith in it. Make it visible to us. And that's his desire. That's his desire. He wants you to go before him, and he wants it to be visible. So defining and understanding God's justice, because we need to understand it in this hour. There are many different prophetic voices speaking out there about the times in which we're living, no doubt. And there's also a gentleman by the name of Jonathan Kahn. He just released another 18-minute video, which is tremendous, a great video, of things that are happening within the earth and how we should prepare and how we should be prepared as a people. And I believe that the Lord has highlighted some verses here today for you to dwell on, to meditate on, over the next 40 days. Now, that doesn't mean you can't see other scriptures and read other scriptures. Of course you can. But I want you to begin to meditate on Isaiah 42, verses 1 through 13. And the reason why I'm challenging you to do that and myself is because I believe it has a lot to do with the plan that God is instituting right now on the earth in our midst. I want us to understand it. That chapter is a prophecy of the servant, our Lord Jesus, revealing how justice is going to be established. So if you can, go ahead and turn to Isaiah 42. We'll have it up on the screen too. I'm going to go ahead and read through it, and I'm going to break it down. It's in four different sections, and so I'm going to read through it, and then we're going to kind of talk about justice and move through it. So we're going to meditate over this over the next, like I said, 40 days, and again, just ask God for more revelation of it. But in the first section here, verses 1 through 4, it talks about the vision of divine justice. And so this is a prophetic chapter for the body of Christ, and I believe it's for this hour. He says, "Behold," there it is, "behold, what you behold, you become. Behold, my servant, my humble servant." We're going to break this down over the next few weeks too. I won't do it all today, but "my humble servant, whom I uphold." Who's the humble servant? It's Jesus. The Father is saying, "Behold, I want you to behold him in this hour. I want you to know him in this hour. I want you to get before him in this hour. I want you to get downloads from him. I want you to know that if you draw near to him, he's going to draw near to you. Behold, my son, my servant, my humble servant, whom I uphold, my chosen one, in whom my soul delights. I've put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice." There it is. What does that mean? He's going to bring forth justice to the nations. That means all the nations. We cannot attach ourselves to organizations and things that are not attached to the Word of God. Can't do it. We're not going to see justice. I do believe God wants us to walk amongst all people in every situation and proclaim the truth and the justice that we receive because we've been justified by Jesus. And it's not just a suggestion or an idea. It's a proclamation of what he's done. So we need to talk to all folks in all areas, anywhere, any place. But we need to come under an understanding that justice comes from the Word of God. Not if you're on the left or on the right, wherever you are, who you're connecting your wagon to, you connect your wagon to the will of God and the Word of God, and that's how you begin to walk in justice. If it is not that, don't get yourself so stirred up about anything. Because this is an hour to come before Him and be attached to Him and know Him. Because you're going to see things shift, shake, quake, and change all around you. And it's going to happen in a powerful way. The kids are going to run in front of the church. And it's okay. And it really is. God wants us to be family. He doesn't want you to be this starched, you know, every little thing, you know. I won't say what I was thinking. That was a check. That was a good one. Thank you, Lord. Okay. So anyway, this is what we need to understand, the Word of God, and in this hour. So he's going to bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry out or raise his voice, nor make his voice heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not extinguish. He will faithfully or truthfully bring forth justice. He's going to do it. Man, things are bad. He's going to do it. He promised it. It's going to happen. Jesus, the King of Glory. We hitch our wagons to nothing but Him. His word, His will. You could say that justice is making wrong things right according to the Bible, according to His word. That's the definition of justice. Making wrong things right according to His word. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not, verse 4, he will not be disheartened or crushed until, that's so beautiful, until he has established justice in the earth and the coastlands will wait expectantly for his law. Those first four verses right there, it's about divine justice coming forth. The Father says, look at him, behold him. Now verses 5 through 9, this is about prophecy and partnering with him in prophecy, which we have a lot of prophecy around here in this ministry and throughout the body of Christ. And so this is a global global partnering with God and prophecy for a release of his justice. And that's verses 5 through 9. It says, thus says God, the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and its offspring, who gives breath to the people and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you into righteousness. Of course, through his Son. I will also hold you by the hand and watch over you. I love that. And I will appoint you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the nations. He's going to appoint us to prophesy and to speak forth as a light to the nations and the people around us. This is a prophecy for the end time harvest church that's going to stand in a powerful way as a light to the nations, to open up blind eyes. Here it is, the anointing of healing, the anointing of justice going forth, to open up blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeons. Sometimes that's actual physical blind eyes, but a lot of that has to do with spiritual eyes that have been blinded. People can't see. They're grabbing onto anything. I've called you to be a light, to reflect me, to allow me to have my way in you. Draw near to me. I'll draw near to you, and I'll begin to use you and speak through you. And this is exciting, that what God wants to do, to open up blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeons and those who dwell in darkness from prison. I am the Lord, he says. That is my name. That's my name. Do you think I'm going to give glory to any other man or woman? Do you think I'm going to give glory to any other party? Do you think I'm going to give glory to any other religion? Do you think I'm going to do that? He's not. I want to say to all of you today, wherever you're at in your walk with God, if you're questioning God, I just want you to know that I don't ever want to try to tell you that Jesus is a good idea. Not at all. I want to tell you that Jesus is the answer, and Jesus is justice, and he is coming. So what do you want to do? You just want to play it off? You want to make excuses and look at other people because they're not this or that? Guess what? Nobody is perfect, and everybody makes mistakes. But this end time overcoming, conquering, humble army of God is going to rise up, and we're in the midst of it, and it's going to change history, and we're going to proclaim him. We're not going to suggest him. We're not going to hurt people by it. We're not going to condemn people by it. We're just going to proclaim the truth about who he is because we can't hold it back anymore. How does that happen? That happens when we draw near to him and the Holy Spirit begins to infuse us and allow the fire of God to have its way within us. Amen. Okay, where was I? Oh, yeah, verse 8. I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not give my glory to another, there it is, nor my praise to graven images. I'm not going to do that, he says. I'm not going to settle that Jesus is a good man and a good prophet. This is my son. I'm not going to allow them to keep doing this. It's an injustice. Behold, the former things have come to pass. Now I declare, I love this one. Now I declare, prophesy new things before they spring forth. I will proclaim them to you. What was Michael doing at the beginning? What were they singing? They were proclaiming things that are coming because of what, where we've been with him and what we've sown in the Spirit. And it's coming to us. So to proclaim it. And now that was the prophecy. Now verse 10 through 12, it's global worship and prayer movement at the point of his return. This is very powerful when you look at this. Verse 10. Now you got to understand, this is happening all over the earth. We already seen the context of the first few verses. This is talking about the whole earth. This is talking about all the people, all the nations. And it's saying, sing to the Lord a new song. In the midst of this, a new song is going to rise up. And this new song is going to begin to be sung all over the place. Sing his praise from the end of the earth. It doesn't matter where it is. It's going to spring up all over the earth. You who go down to the sea and all that is in it, you islands and those who dwell on them, let the wilderness and its cities lift up their voices. The settlements where Kedar inhabits, let the inhabitants of Selah sing aloud. Let them shout for joy from the tops of the mountains. Let them give glory to the Lord and declare his praise in the coastlands. What do you think that is? That's God's government going forth for his justice to move. God's government is from a place of intercession. God's government is from a place of worship. God's government is from a place of prayer. Want me to prove it to you? I can sit down with you and show you the scriptures. Let me share this with you. Didn't Jesus say, on earth as it is in heaven? Pray this way. Didn't he say that, everybody? Right? He said it. It's in the Word. What's happening in heaven? What's happening at the throne of heaven right now? There's intercession going on. Guess who it is? It's Jesus making intercession on behalf of all of us. And what's going on? So there's prayer at the throne of God, which is the center of all things, is the throne of God. The center of the universe is the throne of God. And so there's prayer going on. What else is going on? Worship. There's prayer and worship. There's the eternal heavenly house of prayer burning right now in heaven. This is a shocker for some. This is where the justice of God begins to move forth. From an eternal perspective of a house of prayer happening around the throne, there's 24 elders that have gathered. These are probably 24 apostolic leaders. And they're in unity. You can't get three in unity. You can't get them in a room. They're like, listen, God's saying this is how it is. And what are those apostolic leaders doing? They're worshiping, they're praying, they're falling down and getting back up. So the house of prayer is where God's government flows from, through prayer and worship. It's through that justice moving forward in God's people. You see, we can do deeds of justice, which are good, and we can have some impact. But justice was not meant to prevail except from a place of prayer and worship. And as we pray and worship, then justice begins to prevail forth in communities and all over the earth. God wants to prevail in the place of worship and prayer and set us in motion. And when you read those verses right there, I want you to pray over them. I want you to ask the Holy Spirit to take you deeper and deeper and deeper until you know more and more about 42, Isaiah 42, 1 through 13, more about God's justice and his plan and have it revealed, because this is a plan that he prophesied from the prophet Isaiah to us in this time. And he said, don't worry. There's going to be singers everywhere. There's going to be worshipers everywhere. It's going to happen all over the earth. There's going to be people crying out and praying and interceding. And that's what that scripture is talking about. It's like this whole song is being lifted up. Why? Because we're fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is living in us. We're allowing him to have his way in us. And all of a sudden, we're starting to understand that we are the bride of Christ. And the bridegroom is coming, conquering every injustice on the face of the planet. And we're about to live in a way that we've never lived, breathed, or acted, or worshiped, or prayed ever in our whole lives, because he's coming. That's what's about ready to happen. We're living in that prophetic season where God is shifting everything. I know you have problems. I know you have struggles. He knows it more than you think he does. And he will definitely help you. But this is a time for you to engage and interact with him and get downloads from him from a place of fasting and prayer and worship and the Word of God. This is exciting. This isn't like, buh, this is exciting. And if you look at the last verse, look at this prophetic chapter, look at this last verse, 13. Now, 13 is completely where he cleanses everything in the spheres of society. He cleanses everything. Verse 13, the Lord will go forth like a warrior. He's coming. He's cleansing everything in society. The Lord will go forth like a warrior. He will arouse his zeal like a man of war. He will utter a shout, yes. He will raise a war cry. He will prevail against his enemies. That is absolutely exciting. Now, either we believe it or we don't, and if we believe in the Word of God, man, can we get excited and trust in what the Word is saying prophetically to a chosen generation that's going to be overcomers and worshipers and lovers of God. There's no doubt in my mind before it's over. A lot has to happen, but as we begin to come closer and closer to Him, denominations are not going to matter. It's the kingdom of God, a kingdom nation, a kingdom people, a kingdom culture, and a culture of humility. A culture of humility is from this King of glory, from justice. A culture of humility that says, I see what's on them. I want them to speak. I want them to play, and I want to get out of the way so they can shine for the glory of God. That's a culture of humility. Say, let them do it. Let more. Come on. A culture of honor is good. You acknowledge the person for the gifts. But a culture of humility is amazing, because it's about all of us being who we're called to be as priests before the Lord. Amen? Okay. So, Isaiah 42, 1 through 13, the prophecy. And it says that he will establish justice in the earth, and he will do it in partnership with his people. He will do it with cities singing a song unto the Lord. people just loving God. In those 13 verses, they're absolutely amazing, and eyes will be open to a global prayer and worship movement, a justice movement all over the earth, all over the earth. This all happens in the time of the return of Jesus. And this is what it says to me. It helps us to live in a more practical, prayerful, worshiping, loving community. To not get caught up in so much that's going on, but to live more in a practical walk with God by being a man of prayer and sitting before Him. We've been talking about the Holy Spirit, and I want to talk a lot more about it. I want to talk about being filled with the Holy Spirit. I want to talk about baptism of the fire of God. I want to talk about speaking in tongues. I want you guys to get an understanding of it. It's not necessarily that we speak in tongues so we can have it corporately. It can be done that way. That's fine. But what I want to encourage you in is to get in your prayer closet and let that language begin to have its way, because it will take you to the depths of God's heart and show you things that you've never seen before as you begin to fiery pray in the Spirit of God in the gift of tongues. It's a gift. We don't talk about it much. I don't know why, but it's not going to be that way anymore. Because we have to get fortified. Fortified in the place of His presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. So we can walk this thing out with Him. I didn't want to go off on that bunny trail, but it's a good one. This all happens in time for His return. This verse, these 13 verses from Isaiah 42, again, I want you to read and pray that these verses are a divine stream. That's where I was coming up with that. It's a divine stream of supernatural revelation. And it's going to increase your faith as you begin to understand it. Isaiah 42 is also a partial blueprint. It's not all of it. It's just a partial blueprint. And the word that I want to focus on, as I said at the beginning, is justice. We need a clear understanding of the word justice. Working definition of the word justice. Clarity. A unified definition of the word justice. And here you go. There's different definitions, but this is one. Justice is the manifestation of God's rule, His attributes, and government in the midst of His people. That's what justice is. His attributes. Basically His beauty, His power, His kindness, His love. All His attributes. It's a manifestation of God's rule, of His authority, of His word. You can simplify it by saying it's just justice is walking in the will of God. According to the word, not according to man. So that we understand what justice is. I think I said it earlier. That it can be simplified by saying it's making wrong things right as defined in the Scripture, in the Bible. That's justice. What does the Word say about that? Not how you feel, not your opinion, not the opinion of other people, but what does the Word say about that? Amen? That's what we need in our lives. We got to have it. As I said earlier, and it's a little bit of a shocker, but God's going to release His justice, His government, through prayer and worship. If He said in heaven as it is on earth that He wants His will to go forth, well, if they're worshiping and praying continuously around the throne of God, and that's the government of God, I believe that the government of God and the justice of God is going to be released through people who are praying and worshiping before the Lord. And that could be anywhere, any place, any church, any gathering. I'm just telling you, it's the new season that we're entering into is not a season of performance. It is a season of being before Him and hearing Him and taking what He's given us to give Him honor and to give Him praise. That's the season we're entering into. His government. His government is called a heavenly house of prayer. His government is founded and sustained by that. You can read, I can give you all kinds of scriptures to back it up. Justice deeds, as I said earlier, are amazing, and they need to go forth, leading people to Christ, but we shouldn't have justice deeds without prayer and backing and intercession. We should always be praying. Justice is the manifestation of God's will. When His will happens, that's justice. It's that simple. I wanted to try to simplify it as much as I can. When His will happens, that's His justice going forth. That's what we want to pray. That's what we want to believe. Always praying His will. And I said this already earlier, but God wants the healing anointing to rest on the church. And that's His will, and that's justice. And when those things happen, it's a witness of Jesus Christ. It's a witness of Jesus. We're not the healer. He is. The gospel of Jesus is a gospel of justice. We were redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And look at the humility that He showed. Jesus wasn't just humble as a man. Jesus was humble in heaven with the Father before He ever became a man. He brought humility with Him. This is who our God is. That's pretty, kind of messed me up when I was thinking about it. That humility just didn't come as a man, but humility was already in the heart of God, was already in the heart of Jesus when He became a baby. Many of us say, oh, He became a humble servant. No, He was a humble servant way before He ever became a man. This is who He is. This is who He is. Humility is huge. We need to understand it. Everyone needs Jesus. As I said earlier, it's not just a good idea. Jesus is absolute justice. Absolute. You can't sanctify any group. Listen to this one, please. You can't sanctify any group hoping that they're the ones that's going to get you through something. You can't sanctify them. The only one that's going to get you through something is Jesus. That's it. And we're going to find that out more and more as the day draws near. We want to know it now. We want to walk in that now. Justice is returning to our first love. When we begin to love Jesus and allow His love to flow through us, it's an act, it's a deed of justice. Unity comes through justice. Unity comes through the will of God. And verse 1 again, behold. He wants you to behold Him. I believe that that's what this whole chapter is saying. When I get in that closet and I behold Him, I begin to pray in the Spirit or that walk or whatever. He wants me to behold Him so that I and you can become more like Him. That's the fuel we need. That's what's going to get us through and move us forward. If you continually behold Him consistently, He will make you more like Him. My servant, humility. Jesus was so humble. So humble. He washed feet. He was a broken man on a cross. I'm going to edit a couple things here and wind this up. If we want, and if you want, transformation, I don't want you to try to measure up to your wife. I don't want you to try to measure up to your husband. I don't want you to try to measure up to Joe Schmo. You know, that's a Christian. I want you to be transformed because you get before Jesus. And He's the one that transformed you. It's not about measuring up. So somebody will say, hey, good job, buddy. It's about beholding Him. When you behold Him, the power of sin fades away. When you behold Him, the glory of God begins to invade your life in little areas. And I will say this as we close. Humility is the test. How humble are you? Humility is the test. How are you when somebody overlooks you? Humility is the test. That culture of humility. And this is the last thing. I want you to be teachable by the Holy Spirit. I want you to be willing to learn from others. I want you to be willing to be corrected. by a brother or a sister. How dare you? You know? I mean, really. There's a lot of death that's got to happen in here. You know? A lot of death. So life can have its way. Jesus never did show pride. Remember when he said, hey, why don't you go ahead and remove that big old log in your eye so you can talk about that speck in your brother's? That's Jesus. We cannot become a critical people and critical of others. Pride always complains and makes excuses. Jesus, Yeshua, values diversity. He values diversity in his people. He values diversity. He hung out with everybody. He values it. Pride is completely self-absorbed. Value diversity and don't judge people. Story about Noah. Many of us probably are a bunch of Noahs in here. Noah was a strong prophetic voice in his time. And he was really crying out. And he did something that everybody thought he was absolutely nuts. But he listened to God and he communed to God. And he was a prophet. He was prophesying about what was about to take place. And after things happened, Moses made a mistake. He got drunk. He got drunk and got naked. And his sons came out and made fun of him. But there was one son that wanted to walk in righteousness, and he came out and he covered up the mistake of his daddy. When we're humble, we cover each other. When we're humble, we're there for each other. If someone says one negative thing to you about somebody today, why don't you try to pull out three positives about that person? In a gentle way, okay? Not in a, well, you know, in a gentle way. Let the Lord use you and point out three positives about who that person is. This is what God wants for us. So back to justice. In no realm of society is there justice apart from God, and that's what I want you to get. I want you to meditate as we go into these 40 days of fasting and prayer on Isaiah 42. Ask for divine revelation concerning these verses. Please let me know what you get. For the next 40 days, I'm going to encourage you in these scriptures. There's so much wealth in these scriptures. In Isaiah 42, you can go ahead and play, Mike, if you'd like. I'd like you to play all the time. Isaiah 42, 1 through 13. As I said, I discussed it with another friend of mine and just found it to be so refreshing. And I believe it's the launching pad for us. It's the launching pad for you to begin to understand what's happening. Reading the Word. Verses 1 through 13 offer massive hope. Massive hope. Believing that the eternal will of God will invade your temporal life. That's what I'm hoping and believing. I'm hoping that you all get your socks blessed completely off by the power of the Holy Ghost. Living in a divine stream of revelation. Why don't you stand? Isaiah 42, 1 through 13. He's going to call you out. He's going to call you out. If you're complaining and you're critical, he's going to call you out. He wants you to be loving. He wants you to speak life. He wants us to engage. He wants our hearts connected to his heart. He wants more conversation with the Father than conversation with media. He wants you. He desires you. He's pursuing you. He's after you. He won't give up on you. Amen. Everybody all right? Okay, let's pray. Let's pray. Well, Lord, today I ask that your word would run swiftly. that Isaiah 42, 1 through 13, that you would give us revelation and understanding of your plan in this hour. That you're establishing a song all over the earth. Houses of prayer, men and women, young and old, from every village, every city singing a whole new song. Cities. So we ask, God, that you would help us, that we would be able to see your plan through beholding you, that we would see your justice, your truth, that by faith, we would begin to ask and you would show us what we need as we get more and more revelation. I just want to ask right now for the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we affirm you, who you are. Will you apprehend every person in this room? Holy Spirit, will you help lead us into the place of beholding Jesus? Holy Spirit, I'm asking, would you help us and give us revelation and understanding of Isaiah 42? Holy Spirit, we want to know. We want to know more of the heart of Jesus. Reveal to us. Give us access to the place of divine revelation. This morning I declare and decree that we will fellowship with the Holy Spirit. I'm going to encourage you to declare and ask the Holy Spirit to help you. That you would declare and decree to fellowship with the Holy Spirit and not live in any ignorance, but to live in truth and light from the power of the Holy Spirit revealing the Holy Word of God. Holy Spirit, have your way. Have your way. Just want you to open your hands and just ask for Him to come. Try not to be distracted. Take a moment. Holy Spirit, you want me to know, you want us to know your plan. Stir me with hunger. Stir us with hunger to behold Jesus. Yes, God. Let's talk to Him right now. Let's ask Him to come. He can hear everything. Prepared for the greatest hour of history. That the justice of God is going to increase on the earth. This is the hour that we engage Him, Jesus and the Father, the power of the Holy Spirit. This is a new season. New time. And if you've been away from Him, ask Him right now to come back into your heart. Ask Him to help you. Ask Him to forgive you of your mistakes right now where you're standing. Help us on how to engage you, oh Father. Help us to draw near to you as you draw near to us. are waiting for your great return. Awaken the watchmen, let the incense burn. Gather the people in the house of the Lord. Surely he is coming. Sound the alarm. Just thank you for this day, this gathering in your name, Jesus. Yeshua, we ask God that you would help us, strengthen us, that you'd speak to us about starting this fast today, what it is you want us to enter into. Just ask for your fire to come and to reveal even more and more of divine revelation, of a supernatural understanding and a supernatural flow of your presence. Thank you for all that you've done, all that you've done in our state. We thank you that you are going to reveal, Father, your Son to all nations. We just love you and give you praise this day in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you. Go in peace.